There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hi Laura, hi Will. It's Lloyd from Cardiff Castle here. Great chatting to you earlier. However, I think my spirited attempts to summarise 2,000 years of history will never truly do it justice. So I think you should pay us a visit to Cardiff and experience it for yourselves. Hope to see you soon.
Big sigh to start there.
Are you recording?
Yeah.
Yes! Hello, Chirpy Cheep Cheeps.
Chirpy Cheep Cheep. Welcome, friends.
To the final episode of Series 2 of the National Treasures Podcast.
We've done it, guys. We've managed...
Oh my god, this roundabout is horrible.
So we've done it. We've managed a full series. 10 episode series. Only took us nearly 2 fucking years.
If you like it, please join our Patreon so we can afford to do a Series 3.
Where are we off to, Laura?
We are going to Cardiff Castle.
We're going to Cardiff Castle. Now, fans of the YouTube interviews will have seen our episode with Lloyd.
Lloyd!
Who, I mean, he says he's not.
I've had too much for breakfast, mate. I am buzzing.
He's the boss of Cardiff Castle.
He's the boss. He's the mayor of Cardiff Castle.
So we're heading there for our final episode. We're a bit giddy.
We are giddy. I threw a teabag at Will. Yeah,
Laura threw a teabag at me. I'll be honest with you. I played it cool, but I was pretty fucking livid.
We had twin rooms in our hotel last night, and at some point this morning, I woke up, and Will, fast asleep, went, wait, and then just farted.
I was asleep. I shall have no, I feel no shame. So
you shouldn't feel shame if you'd been awake. I thought it was very funny.
And then a few hours later, when awake, Laura just threw a teabag at me for what she claimed would be TikTok content. We don't use TikTok.
No, we're too old for TikTok, but it doesn't stop me wanting to collect the content.
Do you know anything about Cardiff Castle, Laura?
I went there earlier this year. After we'd already decided we were doing it on the podcast, I happened to be in Cardiff with my family and some friends on a loose end, and we went to Cardiff Castle. So I know what we're heading to today.
That's good. I've got no idea at all. I'm really glad that we're going, because for the listener, this is the third time we've tried to go to Cardiff Castle. So the first time, Laura misread the website because you thought it opened at 9, but it was only on certain days, and it didn't open at 9.
We didn't have time.
Then the next time, what happened?
There was a nationwide fuel shortage.
And
we physically couldn't fill up the car to drive there.
And now, finally, in the dying days of autumn 2021.
With only 2 days to edit the whole thing and put it together for you. So if you're listening to this and you think this sounds great, know that Laura has had a terrible 2 days.
So we're going to do some magic of editing. To us, we'll stop recording for a bit, but for you, there'll be a little dun 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 dun.
I'm going to use one of the other stings now, just to annoy you.
Dun dun dun
just to freshen it up a bit.
I also think, and listen, we can have to talk about off mic, we might should get some new artwork, because my receding hairline in that picture is neither accurate nor flattering.
We could use the one, you know, the one that we put on the travel mugs for the patrons.
Oh, that's a lovely...
The black and white one.
That Pete Otway did for us.
Yeah, we could switch to that one.
I think that's a good idea.
All right, we'll try and work out how to do that for Series 3.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, well, well. We have parked in the car park of Cardiff Castle. We've come through some armaments, and all we did to get through them was tell a little lie, wasn't it?
That wasn't a lie.
We're here for a meeting. No, we're not.
That's what he said to say.
Yeah, I know. He's part of the lie.
But we are going to meet up with him. That's our meeting.
He's our inside man.
Oh, yeah, like we're spies in the Napoleonic Wars.
Duggan's 11.
Yeah, and we're going, what ho?
Yeah.
We're here. We're outside the gates. There's already exciting stuff. There's a horse, but we've also found Lloyd, who is our Cardiff connection. We were just saying that you snuck us into the castle like we're invading traitor spies.
Yeah, like we're a heist. Yeah, like we've got to give you the VIP access.
But yeah, oh, VIP is probably a better way to sell it than
we're here to burn the place down. There's a dragon.
So immediately you go through the big walls. It's incredibly well preserved, isn't it?
Yeah, it's insane. And you've got like, it's a proper Motton Bailey as well.
Yeah.
Lloyd, well, we've got you. Why Wales the dragon?
Interesting question. I've looked into this myself. It's how it started is a bit up for debate. It's almost certain the first use of it in Wales was by the Romans. So different Roman legions has different symbols on their shields. It's likely that the one that was based in Wales had a dragon. They probably came across the dragon from Eastern dragons, Chinese history themselves. And then when the Romans left, it just became the symbol for the local Welsh tribes, and it's got adopted on and on and on until it became the official symbol, and the House of Tudor started to adopt it as well. We'd be mad to not make something of the dragon. You know, sometimes you think it's overused, but then you think, hey, we've got a dragon on our flag. It's pretty cool. We need to make use of it, don't we?
So. The village I'm from in Somerset, we had a dragon as our little, the Norton Fitzwarren dragon.
Really?
Yeah.
The primary school I went to, I think one of the bloody teachers was a dragon.
Hey! Right, so what do we do now we're here? We're through the gates. Is there a route?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, there's a helpful map straight away. It's good.
So, the square shape here is the external Roman walls, and it's all been rebuilt on that. You can go and check out, you can white up to the wall. There's still a bit from the 3rd century surviving, which you can go up and touch and read about. And then you've got the Motton Bailey Keep, the Norman section. And then over here on the west wall, you've got the 15th century house with all the Victorian additions. That sort
and that's where rooms. We talked. That's where you were when we talked to you in the YouTube video.
I was sat in the Bankerton Hall, so you can be able to look at that after. You can have a look around some of those Victorian interiors on a tour if you like. Directly above us now is the 13th century Black Tower. And there's a brand new Black Tower experience in there about a Welsh rebel called Llywelyn Ap Gruffydd or Llywelyn Bren and his attacks on the castle when he was being subdued by the English lords. So that's quite a fun experience as well.
Now, I've just listened to a podcast by Greg Jenner.
Oh, our rival.
Our rival.
He doesn't know.
And they were talking about Llywelyn Bren and Owain Glyndwr. Oh, Llywelyn Bren is before. Earlier.
Yes. So Owain Glyndwr was 15... I think his attack on Cardiff was 1500 on the nose, in fact. And Llywelyn Bren and his grandfather, Ivo Bach, which the local... There's a local club.
His name was Evil Bach.
Evil.
Evil.
His parents didn't have much hope for him.
Little Ivor translates as little. Bach is small, so little. Ah. So little Ivor. And that was his grandfather. But they're all Welsh rebels, all from the same kind of suit.
Imagine that, being like one of the top three Welsh rebels of the last 1,000 years, and your name's Little Ivor. That's an engine.
Lovely,
so
right.
So there's lots to explore, lots of different time periods. You can go into the air raid shelters from the Second World War. You can check out the Roman Wall, the Victorian House, the Norman Keep. There's a bit of a mishmash of ages, but that makes it quite fun to explore. So it depends what your preference is, but we can start you wherever you like and you can start having a look around.
Yeah, exciting. I like that there's lots of different ages because I always think that that's a weird thing when you have somewhere that's that old. You're like, well, which bit of it do we pretend it's always been, you know?
Yeah, it's a very... the classic tourist question when they arrive is, how old is the castle? And I always feel terrible that there's not a nice, easy answer to that. I can't say, oh, 1412. I have to kind of say, oh, well, this bit's a Roman and this bit's medieval and then this bit's a Victorian tower. But there's not an easy answer. But it does make it more interesting to explore, I think, because should be something for everyone.
And I suppose as well, that's it's the sign of an actual working castle. Like you know, for example, no one thinks the Disney Magic Kingdom is a real castle. That was built in 1950. That's it. This was a castle, so it was built, then it was rebuilt.
What is this explanation?
What I'm saying is...
What are you talking about?
It shows the life of the castle, that it was built, then it was needed.
Uh-huh. Why did you bring in the Disney castle?
Because it's a castle that was built in 1 year and then untouched.
Yeah, because it's not a castle.
That's what I'm saying.
Baby. What are you talking about?
I said it's not. If you listen back, Lloyd, back me up here. I said very seriously, it wasn't a castle. I know that. But this is a real castle.
But that's like saying my house. Why did you...
Because your house...
Anyway, let's let Lloyd go about his day and we'll do this.
If you had an extension, it'd be two different years.
We've decided to go anti-clockwise round the castle.
Yep.
So the first bit we should come to is the air raid shelter bit. I think, was that trebuchet over there?
Yeah, so that's the firing line.
Fun. I have one question though, first of all, William, that while we were talking to Lloyd there, he said about the Romans getting the dragon stuff from Eastern Chinese culture. Mm-hmm. So did the Romans fight the Chinese? Thank you.
Which, this one?
If you go up the slope and through the wooden door.
Thank you.
Did the Romans fight the Chinese? Did they go that far?
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
Is the truth to you.
A squirrel.
But what I do know is...
That's a big old squirrel.
The Romans and the Greeks and the Macedonians and the Persians, you know, they're all going east.
Yeah.
So it's not...
That is a lush-looking squirrel.
Yeah. Also, like, you know George, St. George?
Yes.
Well, he's
Turkish.
From Turkish, and they definitely knew the Turks. They weren't called the Turks.
But Turkey's
at the
a long way away from China, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's the fusion, isn't it? You know, in the olden days...
I'm in love with that squirrel.
Someone in Cardiff might not know someone in Dover, but you'd know someone a little bit east, you'd know someone a little bit east. And
I
stories
reckon that
travel.
Squirrel's in the prime of its life. Why aren't you talking about the squirrel?
Because you asked me a question, and then I answered it.
Yeah, but look now. Oh, he's eating a nut. Take a picture. This is just like Bake Off, but live.
What the fuck do you mean? It's just like Bake Off, but live.
You know,
oh, he's gone now. Sorry.
Right, because you said fuck.
Yeah, all right. Well, sorry, guys. Scary. If you don't know what
a... You know the bit at the beginning of Bake Off in the credits where there's a squirrel?
Right.
It reminded me of that.
Okay.
So you're already annoyed.
No. I've just opened my guidebook, which is a very reasonably priced £5.
Yeah, we love a guidebook. Oh, I think there's going to be sound effects in here.
I've opened it to a page called
there are.
Crocodiles, Apes and Peacocks. All right.
Brilliant. Okay, so the castle wall shelters. On the outbreak of World War II in 1939, Britain prepared for air raids, and Lord Bute, who was the owner of the castle, was asked if he could use the strong outer walls as bomb shelters, and he was like, yes, let's do it.
He just agreed. Straight out. Good bloke.
You'd have to, wouldn't you? You can't have a castle during a war and not use it.
Yeah. Can I borrow your carving knife for Christmas dinner? No.
No, it's mine. So the exterior walls were quickly broken through, and long wooden ramps gave access during an emergency. 8 large shelters allowed them to accommodate hundreds of people. All right. Well done, Lord Bute.
Well done, Lord Bute.
It's weird. There's a window just here, and you just look out onto, like, Cardiff High Street.
Yep, you can see an ultra-lase eye clinic, a 1970s brick building, and I'm inside a 2,000-year-old castle.
Yeah, and that is set up as the war, and then you're just like, yeah, but should we get our eyes lasered?
So
they've got some really old signs up, like that. What are they called? Like traditional air raid shelter signs.
Yeah.
What's it called when it's actually from the time?
Authentic. Like,
that's it. Some sandbag.
Very loud in there.
It does. We might have to turn the recording off because Vera Lynn is absolutely going for it.
So there's the sound of Vera Lynn and the sound of the Luftwaffe, and somehow, despite the Luftwaffe being very loud, Vera's louder.
So yeah, let's turn this off and we'll turn it back on if we can. But if we can't, it's for your own good.
Hey guys, don't worry, we'll meet again.
my God, it's horrible.
You, I found that incredibly moving. I was a bit teary in bits of that.
You were crying?
Not crying, but just a bit like, that was really well done. It was very claustrophobic and very loud and rattly speakers, and I don't know, maybe it's because of like what the world's been through in the last year. Suddenly the idea of something unthinkable happening doesn't seem too far-fetched
anymore. Seems thinkable.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know, I found that really like, oh shit, this is really oppressive.
Yeah, it is, because we're basically under the battlements, so we're walking along underneath sort of the ramparts of the castle. The pathway is, I don't know, 1.5 meters wide, 2.5 meters, 3 meters tall. It is, it's claustrophobic. When you throw in the noise and all of the posters and that, you can imagine you would have been here with your family on a little blanket with hellfire raining down outside.
Mm.
Good exhibit.
And there's something mad about being in a castle built by the Romans when they were fighting here.
Yeah.
And then you're hiding in it again because you're fighting with Europe again.
Laura said a lovely thing to me. She went, I'll tell you what, I know the World War was bad, but it was a great time for graphic design.
Oh wow, look out that window, the stadium.
So we are now, we're essentially halfway round the castle. Straight ahead of us is where we came in.
Yeah.
And like Laura said, so what I can see ahead of me is a moat, so a Saxon Morton Bailey castle, a cafe, a 2,000-year-old wall, and then just the Millennium Stadium.
Should we go up onto the battlements from here so you can turn right up some stairs and I think maybe continue on top of the battlements? I like the way they've done the stairs, actually. They look like they are modern, but they fit, you know? Ooh, and now we're out on the battlements, and at risk of starting a National Treasure soundbite, we've got bloody lucky with the weather. Yeah, so we're up on the top of the... What's that, the Principality Stadium over there?
That's what it's called, yes. Not the
Millennium Stadium's further out.
Yes, apologies, I've made an error.
That's all right, I'll correct you now so we don't get it in the comments, you know?
Our listeners aren't those kind of people.
No, our listeners are nice.
So, I'll tell you something. Shut up, Laura.
Yeah, good.
So I've known for quite a while, also from watching...
You're about to tell me you're dying?
Yeah,
what's
no.
What's happening?
Castles. Laura, you've got to edit. You're making more work for yourself.
Missed the last episode. Maybe I'll just leave in everything we record.
Battlements, obviously, are like the outer limit of the castle. And then life would continue inside the walls, you know. But then you'd also have the castle where the important people lived. I've never seen it more clearly than here. I just spat on you. Because you've got the very... Oh, forget it. Laura's laughing a lot because... Well, if you've seen on the Instagram, there's a new Vision Express campaign where it's a mole. And Laura sent me a picture of it saying, this is you. And then I've just done a little video pretending to be that mole. You know, because when you drive all the way to Cardiff, why wouldn't you pretend to be a mole?
What's happened is... Oh, there's a jay up there. Isn't that pretty? Flying over there.
Yes, look. I can see the jay.
What's happened is Vision Express have stolen Will's likeness and used it for an advert. And not even had the good grace to ask him to do the voiceover. I've got a little video, and if we hit 40 patron subscribers, I'll put the video out of Will pretending to be the mole. Or the mole pretending to be Will. Oh, we've reached one of the corners. Oh, that's a bit more the view you expect from a castle battlement, isn't it? Like, out onto the grounds.
What river's that? Tay?
The river... Car.
Avon?
Somebody's lost their dog down there. I don't know if you can hear that. There's a big well down there, look.
I'm going to find out what the river is. I spat again.
Why are you so spitty?
I don't know.
You're a spitty boy.
Yeah.
So we're going into a little, like a little checkpoint keep bit.
It's a massive flower pot down there.
It's quite left, isn't it, a lot of this? Like, so we're behind the Mott and Bailey on the back of the castle, really. And it is just wildlife. It's quite nicely just left to nature. Because they could so have warwicked this up. Like, it's right in the town centre. You could clear all of this and... Like, they do use it for concerts and, you know, archery bits and bobs. But they've also left this massive bit just wilded. I kind of like it. Hey, look at that hole in that window there. Or a bird. A very fast bird. If this was my castle, I'd turn that window into a reading nook.
Yeah? Very old-fashioned, isn't it, the castle?
Are you reading a book at the moment?
No, I can't read.
Ooh, we're about to step out into some blazing sunlight. I want to see the sunshine after the rain.
Do you know what?
I want to see bluebirds flying.
It is, to my mind, the...
Over the mountains again. I want to.
How have they let you on Pointless and not me? God, I loved it. I'd love to do it. If you're listening and have work, can I have some?
I'm trying, mate.
Not you, you idiot.
You can be my butler.
I need to be a butler.
I'll pay you £100 a day to be my butler.
That's not enough.
Really? Yeah. You'd be making £2,800 a month.
Before tax.
I'll pay you cash in hand.
What's the hours?
24 hours.
No, ridiculous. Ridiculous. That's like a fiver an hour. Midday till six.
But I'm no.
Like £15 an hour. You fucking Tory.
I know what you're worth. There's a little bit of a game section here. There's a chessboard and a Jenga. You haven't read me anything out of the guidebook yet, Will.
Well, you can see the keep here, can't you?
Yeah.
So the 12-sided keep at Cardiff is the finest in Wales. It is built of blue lias limestone. It is the type known as a shell keep. The outer walls provided a shell for the smaller buildings within. It was intended to provide accommodation for the lord and his household and was always the most secure and well-fortified part of the medieval castle. It had its own well and could be heavily provisioned against a siege. Despite being more securely built in stone and surrounded by a moat, it could still be vulnerable to attack. One of the most famous incidents in the castle's history took place during a night raid in 1158 when the Welsh leader Ifor Bach scaled the walls of the keep and abducted the Earl, his wife, and their infant son. He held them to ransom until he had secured the return of land to which he was entitled under Welsh law. For voiceover, please email willrduggan@gmail.com.
Have you found a gargoyle?
Yeah, right there.
Oh yeah. Is that a lion?
I think it's a lion with a little pipe in its mouth.
Yeah, sort of as if it looks really sad, like it's having its insides pumped out of it.
It looks shocked to have a pipe in its mouth.
Yeah, well, it would be. It doesn't know how to smoke. The ramparts of, like, reminding me massively of, you know, the Harry Potter walkway.
In the films?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice. We've come to a door, and I believe this is where we wait for our guided tour. Sight in.
And that will start in about 5 minutes. So, Laura.
Please don't talk to me for those 5 minutes.
If you had to live in a period of history, when would it be?
What do you mean?
Well, would
set some parameters.
Okay, so Tudor, Roman.
How long am I living there? Am I a woman? How much money have I got? Am I coming back? Like, have I got to live the rest of my life there? Or is it more like, you're going for an afternoon?
And that thus ends the fun game.
Why?
You're going for a week.
Okay.
You're middle class.
Okay.
You're a woman.
Okay.
You are... Let's say you went back to Rome, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You can speak Latin, all that sort of stuff. You're not going to stick out like a sore thumb.
Well, I will, because I'm beautiful.
What, you've seen Roman birds? Been to Italy, mate.
Where would I go then? I would go to a Native American tribe.
Okay, so you go to Native America pre-Columbus.
Yeah.
What would you hope to learn?
Horse riding skills really well.
Mm-hmm.
How to be at one with nature.
Mm-hmm.
how to have a really warm tent.
Oh, yeah. So you want to go to Decathlon? And then a horse riding lesson.
All right, where are you going?
I don't know, probably sort of reign of Charles II.
Oh, so you want to go to Pets at Home?
What?
Spaniels.
Spaniels. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I have pinned the future of my career on this woman. And that was, Laura's got a trophy in her house, deservedly, for best MC in the country. And her reference point for Charles II was, Pets at Home, a shop that don't sell dogs because of a dog.
They sell everything you need to keep your dog happy.
Like what?
Chew toys, bouncy balls, leads, beds, food.
Sorry, if I missed the email thread where we're not sponsored by Pets at Home.
Well, sorry, I didn't know we were sponsored by Charles II either.
Ooh, what? Good comeback. That's me,
Donnie. I don't see why it's not okay to say I want to go to...
I think it's absolutely fine.
The Cherokee tribes.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
But you were horrible about it. You said I wanted to go to Decathlon.
I did a wonderful joke.
And then I did one back.
No, you didn't.
Jodine is going to give us a tour of the house. We're excited. This is Will and I'm Laura.
Hello, Will.
We apologise in advance for any stupid questions we ask.
It's okay.
Okay.
Is this your first time here?
It's Will's first time. I've been before, but I haven't done the tour before. Oh, my God. Whoa.
It's not what you expect, is it?
Crikey. So we've just walked into a room that is maybe the most intricately painted room I've ever seen in my life. All gold and green and... I mean, there's everything on every wall all the time. Wow.
There's everything on every wall all the time.
I should hope so.
That's a good sentence. I should talk.
Yeah.
Okay then, so the site itself is 2,000 years old.
Wow.
Now the Romans only stayed here about 400 years.
Only 400 years.
And then they left because the Roman Empire collapsed. Okay?
Gutted.
How dare they bring over donkeys and stinging nettles?
Did they bring stinging nettles?
Yeah, they did.
Bastards. I hope they brought dock leaves too. Or did we already have dock leaves?
Probably. We don't really know what happened on this site for about 600 years.
Right.
Okay, but the next big thing to happen in Britain, of course, was the Norman invasion, 1066. William the Conqueror came. 1081 was when they came to Cardiff. What they did, they built the Motte and Bailey, which was originally wooden.
Okay.
But the Welsh and the Normans, they did not get along. So we come along, we burned down their town, we burned down the Motte and Bailey. We thought we won. But the Normans got clever and they built the stone castle.
It's like Three Little Pigs, yeah. But with castles.
So that's been on our grounds for just under 1,000 years.
Wow.
Okay, so ever since the Normans, at least say over 12 main families have lived or owned Cardiff Castle. The family we're going to be talking about were the Butes. They come from a little island just off the coast of Glasgow called the Isle of Bute, and their family home is called Mount Stuart. So a Welsh castle in the hands of a Scottish family. They didn't really do much here, okay? It was the second Marquess of Bute. He found coal in the Welsh valleys.
Ah.
Now, coal was worth a lot of money. He moved the coal from the valleys down to Cardiff Docks, and then Cardiff Docks became the largest export of coal in the world.
Wow.
Okay? So the Bute family were multi-millionaires in the early 1800s. So very, very rich and very powerful. But this is the man we're going to be talking about today. John Patrick Crichton Stuart, third Marquess of Bute, and at the age of 6 months, he was the richest baby in the world.
Ooh.
And then at the age of 21, he had access to all of his father's wealth, and he was fascinated in the Gothic Revival, which is a type of architect, and a man, well, architecture, and a man who specialised in this was William Burgess. So he's responsible for all the decoration you see.
Okay.
Funded by this man here.
Right.
Now, in every room, there's a theme. Okay, this room is called the Winter Smoking Room.
Okay.
The theme of this room is all about time, because we're situated in the clock tower.
Oh!
So, yeah, it's very, very snazzy. So when you look up to the ceiling, you have the zodiac signs.
Oh, I'm trying to figure out why they're...
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Zodiac signs.
There's mine. I'm Libra. What are you? A Scorpio, Will? You're
and
Sagittarius.
Capricorn, Virgo.
Oh, yeah, there's Capricorn.
And then the Anglo-Saxons, they named the days of the week after the Norse gods.
Yeah.
So Mani for Monday, the god of moon, the stained glass windows.
Oh, yeah.
See, Tuesday, Woden for Wednesday.
Yeah.
Now, we all know this god. He's an avenger.
Hey!
Oh! Thor for Thursday, Frey for Friday, and Saturn for Saturday. Sunday, represented the sun in the middle of the ceiling.
Oh.
And it's cool, isn't it?
That is some theming.
A lot of the time, they were smoking opium, so it is
cool. I was going to say, I just take a Dulux watch and just like, yeah, that'll look all right.
And then you have the times of the day in the corners, when the sun's rising, morning,
oh, wow,
afternoon,
yeah,
evening, then night.
So you're hearing all the negatives about heroin, but these guys absolutely smashed it.
Yeah.
So in about 1872, the third Marquess of Bute marries Lady Gwendolyn.
Here she is. So there's a picture of her. She looks beautiful but miserable. Holding a crown like she is fuming about being given a crown.
I thought it was a cake.
No, she looks like livid, like, oh, how long have I got to sit here? But very rich by the looks of it.
Very, very rich. So she had four children, and we'll take a trip to the nursery, we'll see them. So to stop the women from coming in and spying on the men, there's a devil in the hallway.
Oh.
And this was to warn off any females, because if you saw the devil, it brought death upon your family.
So up, if you look up, there's a little vestibule outside the room, and it's like that Mighty Boosh character sort of looking down at you. It is genuinely quite creepy, and in a badly lit, those glistening little mother of pearl eyes, that would be genuinely horrible. So we're going down a little walkway. We've got more shooting arrow slit things. And to the right, we're now going into, ooh, the nursery by the looks of the rocking horse.
Okay then, so this is the nursery. Now it's situated in one of the towers called the Guest Tower, which was built by William Burgess to accommodate visitors to the castle. Now here are the four children.
Nice.
Now by the time these children were 10, they could speak 5 different languages.
Whoa.
English, Welsh, French, Scottish Gaelic, and Latin.
At least one useful one.
Now, their father, Lord Bute, could read, write, and translate up to 21 different languages.
My goodness.
That's too many.
That's too many.
Get a
hobby. Barely speak one.
Yeah, get a hobby, Lord Bute.
So this is where the children would be educated. They would eat in this room and they'd play in the room. They'd never sleep in the room. Their room was above us, called the night nursery.
It's so cool. There's all like... So on the walls, you've got like a tiled pattern, and then there's frieze sort of painted along the top, I'm guessing like maybe Bible stories.
No, fairy tales.
Fairy tales. So I was going to say, because the words say like Cinderella and dragon.
These are not your Disney fairy tales.
No, okay.
These are very grim, okay?
Nice.
There was no such thing as a happily ever ending. Okay. So a lot, yeah. So you've got your Cinderella.
Oh, yeah, there she is.
You've got your St. George the Dragon.
Yeah.
In the middle, you've got Ali Baba.
Oh, this is like a dream, isn't it, for a kid?
Lady Godiva. I don't know how appropriate that is for a...
She's got some very well-placed, beautiful hair, though. That is doing a lot of work. And this is all original, is
all
it?
All original.
Wow.
It all would have been touched up over
the
years.
Yeah, yeah.
Beauty and the Beast and Tom Thumb. Now, this is my favourite. You've got Sleeping Beauty, he was awake and pregnant.
Oh, what?
Oh, God. The implications, Laura.
Yeah, that's... Hey, what I like about this, though, is that presumably... Because you know a lot of the time when people did up these fancy houses and you're like, yeah, it's all very opulent, but it's you showing off to people.
Oh, of course it is.
Whereas you wouldn't have really brought friends and people you were showing off to your kids' nursery. So it feels like this would have... actually it's genuinely been for the kids.
Yes, no, 100%. So the lanterns above you are children's fairy, nursery rhymes.
Oh, yeah.
So Hey Diddle Diddle, the cat and the fiddle.
Oh, my goodness.
Little boy blue, come blow up your horn. Mary, Mary, quite contrary. And three men at tub, rub-dub-dub.
When would this have first been done?
I would say so about 1872.
I've got to say, the depiction of Ali Baba is a lot less racist than I would expect from the aristocracy in 1872.
It's less racist than some of the children's books I had as a child in the early 90s.
You're from Somerset.
I love the colour of tiles in the fireplace. That purple is incredible.
He's a nice bloke, sir.
He was a very nice bloke. It depends on who you speak to, of course.
Yeah,
you
of
know,
course, but
the Welsh whiners are not going to say he's a nice bloke, but, you know.
His own children
he did a lot, you
liked
know,
him.
So the next room we're going to now is the banqueting hall.
So the banqueting hall, I think, is where Lloyd spoke to us from on the YouTube video, Will? Yes, I recognise this room.
So this is the oldest room in the house.
Okay.
We're now in the medieval section of the house, 15th century, 1400s.
Wow.
But all the decoration is Victorian.
Right, so it's your traditional banquet hall. It's long and thin. It's got windows all down one side, an enormous fireplace on the other side, wood-paneled walls, and then high vaulted ceilings with your sort of circular, like, wagon wheel chandeliers coming down, and just amazing paintings and angel gargoyles. Or would they be grotesques because they're not water ones?
Is that... They would be grotesques, but they'd be outside. These are just angels holding shields.
These are just angels holding... Yeah, it's just your average angel holding a shield, really.
Of the important marriages between the Bute family.
Oh, cool.
But then you've also got the minstrel gallery here.
Love it.
And then you would have had your minstrels, mainly your Welsh singing and Welsh harpists, entertaining Bute's guests as they eat here. So it's all about medieval history and ancestry. So this whole frieze as you go around the room tells the story of a 12th century civil war between Stephen and Matilda. So when Henry I died, he didn't have a legitimate son. He had plenty of illegitimate sons, but not the true heir. He only had a daughter, Matilda. And of course, in the 1100s, it was forbidden for a female to go on the throne.
Rightly so.
So it went to her cousin, Stephen. Now, of course, Matilda, she hated this. So they ended up having a civil war that lasted over 19 years until they came to an agreement. Stephen would become king, but as soon as Matilda's son was old enough, he would then take his place.
Henry II.
Correct. So that boy in the red coming off the boat is Matilda's son, and when he takes the throne, he's Henry II.
I like the way one guy's really got his legs out.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretending to do the work. I'm busy.
Look at my pins.
So we're going to go to the Chaucer room now.
The Chaucer room. I love it. So now it feels like we're sort of sneaking up a back passage now. This feels like a passage that many a servant's used, but no Lord Bute ever went in. Whoa! So we're now in a... How many walls is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. An octagonal room, which is mostly a fireplace. Is this like the ladies' equivalent of the smoking room?
This was Lady Gwendolyn's room.
Love it.
Okay, so it's all about Chaucer, Geoffrey Chaucer, the poet and author of the 14th century.
So this is like the equivalent of me picking a room of my house and just dedicating it to my favourite author now.
Yeah.
This is my Roald Dahl room.
Oh, I might have been a James and the Giant Peach.
Yeah.
Look,
the swallows carved into the wood. Incredible.
And then you've got all Mother of Pearl going around the room again.
Yeah.
What is Mother of Pearl?
It's a shell, isn't it?
I don't know.
But you can tell it does feel different to the rest of the room. It's a lot darker as well.
It is.
The reason for that is it's the women. Okay, so all of these women are taken from classical legends and mythology. But Chaucer decides to retell their stories in one of his poems called The Legend of Good Women, in which all these women commit suicide because their husbands have betrayed them. So it's very, very grim. So Phyllis, she hung herself.
Oh.
She didn't want to marry.
Oh my God, and there's a carving of her there with the noose around her neck. Calm down, Chaucer. She's holding on to the snake. Oh no, Medea's holding her babies.
Yeah, so she ended up killing her babies or stabbing her babies because her husband preferred the children to her. So she killed her babies and killed herself.
Oh.
And this was Lady Gwendolyn's room, so I think this is more of a...
Did Lady Gwendolyn have postnatal depression by any chance?
I think I would have had postnatal depression.
Feels like it, doesn't it? What do you want for your little sanctuary room? How about a room about dead women?
A Lucrezia Borgia.
Yep. Yeah, and then you've got Dido over here as well.
And Aeneas. I've read a book.
Then you would have had I guess a little stool in the middle for Lady Gwendolyn to sit on. And then look at the tiles. It's a labyrinth.
Oh.
Children, I know, it's very good. You missed that. It's
yeah. So the tiles on the floor are a sort of bottle green and an autumnal leaf pattern. And yeah, they do look really odd when you first look at them, but then yes, when you look, it is a maze. Oh, yeah. So the children would have occupied themselves wandering around the room, solving that. That's amazing. Oh, and is that an alphabet in
That's
the fireplace?
Yep.
Oh my goodness.
I think it's from one of Chaucer's poems called ABC. Are you okay with stairs?
Yeah.
Straight up.
And we're going up the spiral staircase.
Come on in.
Oh my goodness, we're in a bedroom. Wow. It's such a good day to see this because the light makes it feel like a movie set, doesn't it? It's all so well preserved.
So this was Lord Bute's bedroom. Okay, mm-hmm. Now we're in the Bute Tower. And every room in the Bute Tower has got a biblical theme to it. Because at the age of 21, Lord Bute became a devoted Roman Catholic.
Okay.
So the fireplace is of St. John the Evangelist.
The views through these windows are just... You've got... Like, from some of the angles, because of the trees and stuff, you think, like, yeah, this doesn't feel like the view's changed that much. No. And then you look out one and you go, oh, no, there's a stadium. Yeah, no.
Why did he have a single bed?
Because the females would have the double bed for the pregnancy. And, of course, back in the day, the more powerful and richer, you always slept in a couple of rooms above the female. Okay.
How would she get pregnant if...
You'd visit her room and then go back to bed. You'd go uncouple and then go away again. Perfect.
That sounds great.
Yes.
So this is the original bride bed, okay? So it all would
wow.
be, you know, a bit more covered in gold leaf over the years, wear and tear. This is the springs. They look like some sort of medieval, you know,
oh God.
Device.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Do you reckon it was comfy?
No, probably not. But way more comfortable than everything else in the early
1800s. Oh, yeah, no, definitely. So originally there would have been a chamber pot underneath the bed.
Oh, yeah.
But because there. They were very advanced for the period, they've got a flushing toilet.
Oh, there's an ensuite.
So there's an ensuite, so he would have had hot and cold
water. Oh, and a whole bath.
There's actually 60 different types of marble in this room.
Wow.
And they're all inscribed in gold.
I think this is my favourite thing I've seen so far, this room. This has just blown my mind a little bit.
Isn't it mad that this guy was and this rich, but last night I slept in a bed at the Ibis at Cardiff Services that was comfier than his bed. I had a lovely night's sleep.
So we're going to go upstairs to the roof garden.
Boy.
Oh, wow. This is insane. Oh, my goodness. It's like a pagoda, sort of.
Right, I'll give him this. My bed is more comfy, but his house is better.
So this was actually inspired by many visits to the ruins of Pompeii, which, of course, is in Italy. So you've got the roof tiles, Pompeii red, and the mosaic on the floor.
Wow. This is not what I was expecting. At all. I don't know what to say to make this interesting to the listener, but so yeah, we've come upstairs. We're in a courtyard that does feel like we're in Roman times. There's all marble mosaics on the floor. There's a big sort of water fountain. There's a water fountain. I don't know if you'd heard Will say that, but with hamsters sort of holding fish that the water would have shot out from.
Yep.
And then sort of a covered walkway around the edge. And then the names of the houses, is that?
The Helandria.
Is it more Bible stories as well?
So this is the story of Elijah from the Book of Kings.
Yeah.
And then is this Hebrew or Arabic?
Ancient Hebrew.
Ancient Hebrew script along the sides in the tiles, presumably telling the story that the pictures are telling, is it?
Correct.
Wow.
So this is a view.
And then we're
of
opening
the
one of the
tower.
Windows. I mean, this is just magical.
Yeah, it's amazing. Laura, I can see your car.
This is just crazy, beautifully magical. I'm just blown away by this. I'm sorry, listeners, I'm not being very interesting, but I don't know what to say other than, like, if you find yourself in this neck of the woods, you have to come up here and see this for yourself.
You didn't do this tour with your parents when you came here?
No, costs extra. You met my dad.
Yeah.
So we're going to go down now. There's about 89 of these steps all the way down. So
brilliant.
I'm the last person down. Just go all the way down.
Okay.
You see a sign say dining room with an arrow all in back.
We're going to the dining room. Oh, this is luxe, isn't it?
So when Lord and Lady Bute was entertaining guests in the banqueting hall, they would come and dine around this table.
It's low-key, isn't it? It's just a massive, massive low-key dining room.
So the ceiling above, gold leaf, but then you've got your semi-precious stones up there, your ruby and your sapphire.
I love a sapphire.
And then the lower wall then is made of Hessian.
Huh.
Yeah, which you get your old bag of potatoes from. Put it painted on it and then just whacked it out.
He'd run out of money.
By then, yes.
It's a table. Spent his last bit on that table.
And then, that is, so it's the only one in the castle. It's a hammer.
It's not a real monkey. It's carved in wood, just for the listener.
So what you do, you push the nut inside the monkey's mouth and it rings a bell downstairs in the kitchen and then the steward would come up to attend.
It's a doorbell.
That is very cool. I think I'd have gotten quite well with Lord Bute.
I think he'd have been a right laugh down the pub.
Yeah, he feels fun.
Like he'd turn up in sort of like a zebra skin cloak and be like, oi, oi.
Yeah, but then he'd give you the cloak if you said you liked it.
No, if you were a Welsh miner, they didn't like him.
No.
Okay then, so what we're doing, I'll go into the drawing room.
Ooh.
This is it. He was mayor of Cardiff.
Who does he look like? He looks like...
He looks like Kaiser Wilhelm.
Okay, that wasn't what I was going for.
Or John Nettles.
So we became a city in 1905.
Okay.
We became the capital in 1955.
Oh, that's quite late, isn't it?
But then our flag got recognised in about 1959.
The Welsh flag, wasn't
it? The Welsh flag, yeah. So when you get people saying, you know, it's not represented on the Union Jack, well, the Union Jack had been around hundreds of years beforehand, mm-hmm. and actually was invented by a Scotsman. Yeah. So the portraits, this is the second.
That is Dracula. I recognise him. That is Dracula, if ever I saw him.
So he is the man responsible for finding the coal and all the minerals, built the docks up, exported the coal around the world. So he's responsible for making the family extremely rich. So
he's his dad.
Yeah. And then this is the third Marquess of Bute. And he's the man responsible for spending that money.
Love it. Okay, so Dracula is the dad. He's the one that got the coal. And then his son is a bit more fun looking.
And then the fifth Marquess of Bute, and he's the man responsible for giving away the castle.
Okay, that's an honourable thing to do, but he looks hilarious. He looks like Charlie Chaplin playing Ur-Wooly in a cartoon version of life.
Is there a sixth Marquess of Bute? A seventh? Like, is there one now?
Sounded like, yeah. So is there a sixth Marquess of Bute?
Is there a current Marquess of Bute?
There is. We're currently on the eighth Marquess of Bute. I think he's only about 32. But he's a chef in a posh restaurant in London.
Ah.
Yeah, they've not got a lot of their properties now.
This guy gave him away.
The seventh Marquess of Bute, however, was a Formula One racing driver by the name of Johnny Dumfries. So we're going in the library.
Oh, I found some more monkeys.
Well, it's all to do with Charles Darwin.
Oh, okay, so we're going into the library now.
So it's directly below the banqueting hall. So
yeah,
again, medieval section of the house, but it's all Victorian.
You probably can hear in the sound quality the deadening of the sound because of how much stuff is in here.
So as we know, Lord Bute was a devoted Roman Catholic. He'd come to hear of Charles Darwin's theory. Of course, he disagreed with it. At all costs.
Well, it's nonsense.
What?
So we have the tree of knowledge.
Yeah.
And the forbidden fruits. But instead of Adam and Eve, we've got monkeys. Just showing how bizarre Darwin's theory is that we evolved from them.
Can you imagine?
That is embarrassing for him now.
Disagreeing with something like, I'll show him. I'll decorate my house. Like his book. Like me going, I tell you, J.K. Rowling's got some funny ideas. I'm going to get a big picture of Harry Potter tattooed on me. I'll show her.
And then you've got the cherubs. These are all holding plaques. These are all Lord Bute's favourite authors of literature. So your Homer, your Byron, your Tasso, your Shakespeare. They go all the way around the room. And then the shields above. Now, these are all rulers of Wales.
Wow, these are incredible. So they're carved into the buttress things under the rafters.
What are buttresses?
What?
These sort of buttresses.
Isn't it? I don't know. What? They're like curvy things on the walls that keep the ceiling up.
I'm not trying to belittle you. I didn't know what a buttress was.
I've got to admit, I used it thinking, I don't know if this is the right word, but it's what I've always thought maybe a buttress was. But they're all got these amazing shields on them in gold and really bright paint. I like Edward's one.
That palace one's very Game of Thrones, yeah. Like a wolf's claw.
So a lot of these books, you know, they're not the originals. As you walk further on down the library, you then end up seeing all the minutes and meetings of Cardiff County Council.
Hello, Jackie Weaver of the 1800s.
What a reference.
Okay then, so Lord Bute, he died about 53, 1900. Okay, and his son, the fourth Marquess of Bute, he came to power. He did a lot of the work, or the walls around the castle.
Okay.
And by then, the war come out. Mm-hmm. So he fled up to Scotland, where it was a lot safer, had a family of his own. But by the time his son came to power, the fifth Marquess of Bute, when he came down to Cardiff, it was a mess. Okay, we just had finished the Second World War. The German planes had come over, did a lot of damage to the docks.
Yeah, we were in the Second World War.
Ah, it's wicked.
It's very loud, isn't it?
You'd have damage done to Cathays, Whitchurch. I think some damage was done to the grounds. And he couldn't afford to pay it or help, you know, restore it because the government had nationalised the coal industry.
Right.
So they weren't making any more money off the coal. And by the time all the taxes and the death duties was coming out, he just simply didn't have any money. So he started selling off properties, but when it came to Cardiff Castle's turn, he couldn't really just sell it to anyone. This is where it all began. So on the 10th of September 1947, he presented this castle as a gift to the people of Cardiff for all of their hard work. So if you live or work in Cardiff, you can come here free of charge.
Ah!
Very nice.
I considered moving to Cardiff a while ago. I wish I had now.
Oh my goodness, amazing. Thank you so much, Jodine. Thank you. This was amazing. I've had such a lovely time. After a delightful tour, we're now off up the keep. The keep is set upon a motte, or an artificial hill, which the Normans built. And as Jodine told us, the original keep was wooden, but then the Welsh burnt it down, so now they made it out of stone.
And we have to wait here to be taken up.
Do we?
I think this is another one of the tour tours.
No, you just go up it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm just going to go up. I'm so brave.
Well, I must say, I've loved Cardiff Castle.
Me too. I love how central it is. There's not many castles that you're just like shopping a bit and then wander in because it's right in the town centre.
Hey, you live in Cardiff, it's free.
Yeah, that's cool.
Not gonna lie.
Jesus, those steps are a lot. Could do with a sit now.
Well, let's have a look around the castle. I'll buy you a cup of tea.
He's gonna buy me a cup of tea. He bought me a Red Bull yesterday. He's a lovely boy. And a twirl. Still got half that twirl in the car.
Okay, so there's not much to see in it. It's basically, it's a ruin. It's maybe 4 metres high.
It feels like we're tiny people in a well.
Yeah, that's like how it feels. Do you know what I like about this podcast? There's noise of like, it's very clearly done where you're supposed to be. And we're just...
Imagine if we were just in a studio. Just
out of breath.
Just like stamping around and then panting at each other.
Did you ever listen to like radio drama where they're not that good at acting? They're like, I'm so tired from my run.
So the keep was a shell and then there would have been other buildings in here.
Yes. You couldn't have had that many buildings in here, could you? Because
But then these little holes in the wall, they would have had timber struts across them, would they? Supporting things around the edge.
I will say, it's lovely. There's not much to talk about. It's a circular stone construct.
Yeah.
Back down we go.
No, well, why don't we go up these steps? There's more up you can do.
They won't lie to you. I didn't see them.
It's because he's a tiny Vision Express mole. He didn't see the steps. There's more really steep steps.
Okay, so, up one to the stairs.
So, up the first bit. What are we in?
The interior chamber. So the rooms of the Keep Gatehouse would have once provided accommodation for the Lord's household.
You can see why old Lord Bute built that bit that we just went round.
This is freezing.
Rather than living in this. This is bad.
Such chambers would have had plastered or panelled walls, rush matting on the floor, and a few items of funeral. Furniture. The keep was ruined during the 1640s, and the floors were only replaced by the fourth Marquess of Bute in the 1920s.
Going back out here.
It's not an original thought, so you'd have heard it elsewhere, so I'm sorry about that.
Oh, God. I nearly fell.
Oh, it's a bum.
Whoa! Who do you think you are?
Tom Livingston.
The bum police.
I find it mad that I, who has a pretty, you know, normal existence, have a better standard of living than most medieval kings.
Yeah.
So we're in another small room. No idea what it is, no signage, it looks nice. But then there are some steps up.
I like that you can, like, this bit is just left. This feels like a castle from 1,000 years ago, but we've also been round the house that is all kept furnished and nice looking. It's nice that you get both experiences in one day out. And now we're right up to the top of the keep. It also served as a prison and an armory. It affords a commanding view of the Bristol Channel, which for centuries was an important means of travel. All right.
Out to the west, Cardiff city centre.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool. Were I a Viking, happy to live in it. Can totally see why the Buttes. Made their own house. I paused for a long time there because I wasn't sure if I could hear a ghost or a pigeon. So we now find ourselves in the gift shop. And I think this is the bit with the museum where you can see the original Roman bit of wall. Yes, we're going to go down some stairs. So this is the original wall here. That's a clever way to do it, so that it's preserved and indoor.
So we walk along, you're in the gift shop, then you come down some steps and you see 2,000-year-old wall, and there's not much more to say other than, it's good.
I think I need to get Will some tea before he can be enthusiastic about this.
No.
It's a Roman wall, Will, get into.
Laura, first of all, you know I don't like the Romans. Secondly, for an audio format, I can't describe this wall in any way than it looks pretty bloody good for being 2,000 years old.
It's honey-coloured, soft stone,
wow.
Irregular-sized bricks in an undulating finish on the top where bits of it have fallen away.
What kind of honey are you buying?
Soft sandstone honey. It's like a Cotswold sandstone.
It does always impress me with the Romans how, like, you know, Euclid almost was built any time in the last 2,000 years. I'd have gone, yeah?
I guess if you're very scared of being crucified, you build things well.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Okay, so we've gone through a door, we're walking along, and now we're in. We've still got the wall to our right, but on the left is a carved wooden frieze of Roman soldiers.
I don't think that's from the Roman
time. No.
And if it is, colour me very impressed. So there's like children and fishermen and slaves and soldiers and guys making nets. It's very impressive.
There's seating in here so you can sit down and have a look at the frieze as well. Ooh, and now we've come out into a really well-lit frieze. Charioteer Roman street scene. There's a big old column, an Ionic column. He's nodding, I actually got it right. I've learned that off you, Will.
Yes, but I don't know if I'm right. I've told you, but I don't know if what I've told you is correct. That was a lovely little walk.
It was delicious, wasn't it? I'm so happy that this was our last episode. I feel really well-rounded. Should we go and get a cup of tea then and have a look at TripAdvisor? Or should we treat ourselves to a no TripAdvisor episode so we don't have to deal... Look at this bottom. A little cherub's juicy little bottom sticking out the wall. Should we treat ourselves to an episode with no TripAdvisor because we shouldn't have to deal with dickheads on our last day?
Yeah, like it's the last day of school and we brought our toys in.
Yeah, no TripAdvisor.
Well, actually, no TripAdvisor and no... cut into an interview.
No, so this is just it from us.
Thanks for listening to series 2 of National Treasures. We have genuinely really enjoyed making it.
We've had a lovely time. If you've listened, even to just a few episodes or even just this one and you've liked it, please let us know so that we get a sense of who's listening and who's liked it and whether it's worth our time doing a third series.
Which we want to do. We're going to have a little break. So this is what, the beginning of November?
Yeah, we're going to take a break until mid-January.
But don't worry, we will still be, if you're on the Patreon, we're still doing Years and Years.
Yeah, that'll be out every Thursday. Week.
And if you're not on the Patreon and want to come, £5 a month, you get an extra weekly bonus podcast, a little welcome pack, there's a Discord you can join.
You get extended versions of all of the podcasts we've done, and you also get all of the YouTube videos we've done as podcasts, so you can listen to them.
We're going to do some more YouTube interviews as well, so they'll be starting in a couple of weeks. Get in touch with us at Treasures Pod, email us nationaltreasurespodcast@gmail.com, and thanks for being our lovely little listeners.
Thank you for listening. We'll see you in 2022. Goodbye.
2022.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.